is going to talk to us about getting out of our comfort zone a little bit. I know that's an area that I don't necessarily like to talk about. I like my comfort. But Sarah is somebody who I feel like this is something she excels at. It's not, for me looking on, it's not out of her comfort zone, even though it would be out of mine. It's right up her alley. When I first met her, I felt like every time I talked to her or talked to somebody and she came up in conversation, she was always meeting a new neighbor, a new person, or a person on her cruise that she still keeps in touch with. How does that happen, you know? Like, we just go about our own business. I know, like, one neighbor. And so I think that's really awesome, and she's just a great person to come and talk to us about that tonight. So please enjoy.
Thank you. Well, that was a great introduction with the video and inviting people to MOPS. Yeah. That was great. Good evening. I'm really excited to be here. Stephanie asked me to speak on this subject back in the fall, so I've had a lot of time to think about it, which has been really good, and to practice it in my own life. So I'm excited to share the things that I've been learning with you guys. So first, I want to start our time with a little interaction. So I'm going to ask some questions, and I actually want you to call out answers, okay? So the first one, what are some things that are out of your comfort zone? Anybody? Microphones. Very good. Anybody else?
Crafts.
Yes. Didn't think of that one. Quiet? Okay. Evangelizing, yeah, telling people about Jesus. What else? Talking to neighbors? What about becoming a mom? Was that outside of your comfort zone? I had no idea what I was doing when I brought home my baby. Maybe you did, but that was all new things. It's still all new things. Or even coming here for the first time. That can sometimes be out of your comfort zone. Or inviting someone to come. Has anyone thought of other ones that they want to say?
Walking into a room full of people you don't know.
Sure, walking into a room. It's really wild. What about serving in children's ministry or junior high ministry? What about serving in MOPS leadership? Or leading a small group or feeding the homeless or speaking in front of a room full of women. So what makes something out of our comfort zone? The unknown? Expectations?
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure, absolutely. The potential for embarrassment? Okay. It may not be our gift. Our talent, yep.
Our pride.
What others might think about us. Anything else? What if I do a poor job? What if it hurts? What if it's really hard and scary? So let's start off with defining what is a comfort zone. Is anyone familiar with TED Talks? So they're short, purposeful videos to get information out to people, right? And they're on just about any possible topic you can think of. So I went online and I Googled, what is a comfort zone? And sure enough, there's a 5-minute TED Talk you can watch about it. So the speaker defined a comfort zone as an artificial mental boundary that sets what we believe we can and cannot do. In our comfort zone, there's a sense of familiarity, of security, of certainty. When we step outside of our comfort zone, we're taking a risk and opening ourselves up to the possibility of stress or anxiety, and we're not quite sure what will happen or how we'll react or how others might react. I actually also think that when we define comfort zone or getting out of it, it involves acknowledging that we are not in control. And has anyone come to that conclusion yet, that we aren't in control? This same TED Talk presenter said that getting out of his comfort zone makes him feel comfortable with what terrifies him. In his studies, he found a positive correlation between how much we get out of our comfort zone and how much money we make. He found that very successful people, like athletes and musicians and businessmen, they had pushed themselves outside of their comfort zone to get where they were. His summary was that if you want something you don't already have, you have to do something you haven't already done. And it seemed like he was saying the point of your comfort zone is to become successful in life. But I see it differently. Yes, there are benefits if we push ourselves outside of our comfort zone. But why get out of our comfort zone? I can think of two very distinct reasons. The first, because it makes us depend fully on God and not on ourselves. And second, because it encourages others. And everybody is under-encouraged. And because my life isn't actually about me, but we'll get to that part. It may feel overwhelming to think about getting out of your comfort zone. So I wanted to show a video clip of what I hope will happen after tonight. This is from the movie What About Bob? Bob, played by Bill Murray, is afraid of everything. So everything would be considered outside of his comfort zone. And in this scene, he's visiting his psychologist to talk about it.
Exactly how it could help.
Baby steps?
It means setting small, reasonable goals for yourself, one day at a time. One tiny step at a time.
Baby steps.
For instance, when you leave this office, don't think about everything you have to do in order to get out of the building. Just think of what you must do to get out of this room. And when you get to the hall, deal with that hall, and so forth. You see?
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Oh, boy. Baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps through the office. Baby steps out the door. It works. It works. All I have to do is take one little step at a time, and I can do anything. Baby step around the office. Baby step around the office.
That should give you a lot to digest while I'm on vacation.
All right, so I want you to think about just taking some small steps as we talk about this. You don't have to think about overwhelming yourself. Sometimes we get to choose when we get outside of our comfort zone. Like, for instance, we'll initiate a conversation with someone, or we'll go somewhere, or we'll try something new, or travel somewhere. But sometimes we don't have a choice. I think of our many military friends who are regularly moving, and they're starting life all over regularly. Or maybe their spouse is deployed, and they're parenting on their own. Or maybe we choose to marry a man whose job requires that we get outside of our comfort zone. For instance, maybe you marry a man who loves young children, and your preference is college age and older. So that might get you out of your comfort zone, too. Or just that their passion or their work might be different than something that you're used to. And often, our child pushes us out of our comfort zone. They might talk to new people on the playground, or they might sign up for an activity or a sport that you might not be familiar with. Or their behavior might alter your plans or your interactions with others. I know that so many in this room already do a really great job at getting out of their comfort zone, and I see it here at MOPS regularly. But tonight, I just want to pass along four tips or challenges that I've learned as I've been practicing this in my own life, particularly as it relates to relationships. And for those of you that know me, you may be thinking, I'm sure it's easy for you, you're an extrovert, to talk to people and initiate conversation, but it really hasn't always been that way. And some of these areas that we talk about, they're going to be outside of some people's comfort zone, and they're not going to be for other people, and vice versa. But I believe that these ideas will challenge all of us, introverts and extroverts alike, because there are benefits to stretching and growing. So I know sometimes we have a passion for something because of an experience that we had. For instance, I think about sometimes people go into a field like an athletic trainer because they tore their ACL in high school sports, or they want to go into youth ministry because of their experience as a youth. About 5 years ago, I had an experience that shaped a new passion for me. Isaac and I were trying out a new mommy and child event at another church. And when we got there, we parked and I opened up the car door and I was getting him out of his car seat. And I looked to my side and I noticed that the other mom next to me was quickly getting into her car in what looked like a huff and driving across the parking lot and changing her parking spot. And I realized that as I opened the door, it's possible I touched her car door. So I grabbed up Isaac and went across the parking lot and apologized for nicking her door. And anyways, we ended up entering the event already just feeling, there's Isaac saying hello. Hi, baby. but so already I'm feeling awkward and uncomfortable. And I mean, that's my first impression. So we end up going in, and it's one of those events where there's lots of music, there's interaction, and there's conversations going on all around you. And we were there for an hour, and not a single person spoke to us. And it was really easy for us to say, we're not going to come back to this. But it also made me think, whenever I'm involved in something, I definitely don't want someone to walk in the door and feel that way for an entire event that I'm a part of. So my first point is be intentional. One thing I quickly admired about my husband, Dale, is that he knew all of the names of the cafeteria workers at our graduate school and encouraged me to be intentional about learning about the people that work at the gym or work at my favorite place, Panera. And by introducing ourselves and learning people's names, it lets them know we see them and that we're going to pay attention to their life. And sometimes all it takes is a smile or a hello to encourage someone. I actually did make a friend at Panera. you know, they wear their names, their name tags. So it's really easy to start up a conversation. And we did. We got to know each other. And whenever I would show up, she would see me in line, and she'd smile real big and wave. And it was so fun just to do something simple like that and feel like you had made a new friend. And I have a couple of really sweet friendships that when I think back about how we met, it makes me laugh. But there were times that I was focused on being intentional. And one of them was with a gal here 2 years ago, and we did the women's conference with Kelly Minter. I was working the registration table. And this new gal came up and filled out her form and then took off. Well, I noticed on the form there was a line that said, "What's your home church?" And she said that they were looking. So that put my radar up to make sure that she felt welcome this weekend. So the next morning when we were having our registration check-in, they were all divided by last names. And so I intentionally put myself in the spot where I knew that she would check in. And sure enough, she came up and I said, "Do you have anybody to sit with?" And she didn't. So I grabbed her and walked her down the aisle to where my friends were sitting and who I knew would make her feel welcome, and they did. So that was just one really easy thing to do, but a way to make someone else feel welcome. And another time, Dale and I were standing in the hallway before the service here at church, and I noticed this tall young couple walking towards us I hadn't seen before. So I quickly grabbed Dale's hand and walked down the aisle behind them and found the row that they were sitting in and asked if we could sit with them. And afterwards, we struck up a conversation, and sure enough, it was their first time here at Emmanuel, and they were looking for a church home. They wanted to get involved. And years later, those couples are very dear friends of ours. And again, there's such little things to do, but it just comes from thinking intentionally about others. I'm sorry, I'm going to need to get water regularly. All right, a couple of years ago, the theme at MOPS actually was Take the Plunge. And they put out a book called The Mom Connection. And it talked about how motherhood can be so lonely, that you can go with your child to the playground and there'll be people everywhere, and yet you're lonely. In a situation like that, we have such a great opportunity to get out of our comfort zone and to talk to other moms, because we're bringing something to the table like a MOPS group, and every mom needs MOPS. Or just offering to be a friend or a listening ear. And eventually that might lead to an opportunity to invite them to church and to tell them about Jesus. When we're intentional in relationships, we also think about what needs we might be able to meet for the other person. I love how so many women here jump at the opportunity to make meals for new moms or to babysit when someone's children, so they're available to do something. Or this weekend in the snow, people helping a family move. Or this winter, when we had that really big snowstorm, we had the opportunity to shovel out a number of neighbors. And we met so many new people. And we've all lived on that road for a long time, but we just hadn't had an opportunity to meet them. And again, not all those things might be outside of one person's comfort zone, but they might be for somebody else. And this topic made me think, how do we teach our kids to get out of their comfort zone in relationship? I think my own stepping out of my comfort zone came from watching my mom. She, on a Sunday morning, would find an unfamiliar face and introduce herself. She might even invite them over for lunch. So when I was growing up, there were three single, young military folks that basically became a part of our family that way, as an older brother and older sisters to me. Our house was always open and available to people who needed a place to stay, whether it was missionaries that were visiting, or a young person that didn't have a place to go, or college students who were doing internships in DC for the summer. I can't count the number of people who have stayed or lived at our house. And because that was modeled for me, it became easier for me to do. And I've realized that we get so much out of it. I want to encourage us to introduce our kids to people who don't look like us and people who don't believe the same as us, and to look for ways to bridge those types of barriers. We can talk to our spouse about activities we can be a part of that establish relationship. When we meet new people, be sincere and be vulnerable. For some of us, a good challenge might be a baby step just to introduce yourself to somebody new at MOPS or at a class that you're a part of. Asking them a little bit about themselves and showing them, we see you and we care about you and we're so glad that you're here. It matters to somebody. And then to follow up with them afterwards. So my second point is to be available. One of my pet peeves, especially in this area, is how we talk about how busy we are all the time. And I really don't want people to say, oh, I'm not gonna bug her because she's so busy. I'm not saying that we say yes to everything, because there's great value in knowing our limits and being able to say no. But I did have a college friend tell me once, you have time for what you make time for. And as hard as that may be to swallow, I've realized it's true. The things that are a priority to me are what I'm going to get done with the time that I have. And my schedule can be rearranged if I want it to be. I encourage us to be purposeful with our schedules, but to also have margin where we can be available when somebody needs us. When we're intentional and invite people into our lives, it changes things. Our schedule and our priorities get redirected. It may seem like an inconvenience, but it's a real joy. I try to have a schedule where I can move things around when someone calls on me asking for help with something. One great example in our lives was when we were living in Hawaii and we had some guests visiting. We were taking them out to see the green sand beach, and we were about halfway there and our Jeep started overheating. So we knew some friends that were able to help tow us back. So we called, and you know, one had a reason of, oh, my uncle's visiting, or so they all had reasons why they couldn't help. But we decided to go ahead and call this other friend who, they had four small girls at the time, and they dropped everything to come help us. They towed us over an hour back to town. And I just think about what a blessing that was to us, that she took on having all four kids by herself, and he took on driving so far out of his way to come help us. That was such a blessing to us that they made themselves available. And as I was thinking about getting out of our comfort zone, I realized sometimes we're asked to do something that might not be our gifting, but we're able to fill a need because we've made ourselves available. My mentor mom, Ingrid Gleason, and her husband are such a great example of this. I've seen them serve in junior high ministry, in children's ministry, in adult Sunday school classes, in the resource room. And I imagine they don't necessarily have a passion or a gift or even feel completely comfortable in every one of those ministries. But every year, they've chosen to make themselves available to fill needs that exist. They have been a great example to Dale and I, and we want to do the same. And guess what? We might be asked to serve in a place that might not be too glamorous, or it might be with people that are challenging to get along with. So sometimes we get out of our comfort zone because we've made ourselves available and we can fill a need. And sometimes we do it because God's really put it on our heart to do it. And how do we figure that out, what God has put on our heart? Well, my third point is we need to be prayerful. Excuse me. We need to experience things that bring us to our knees, where we rely on Christ and his strength, not our own. That's exactly what I think the point of getting out of our comfort zone is. This fall, our Bible study studied Nehemiah, and that might not be the first place that you would turn to in your Bible, but the book opens with Nehemiah hearing about the state of Jerusalem and how the walls and the gates had all been destroyed. And does anyone know what the first thing he did was? He prayed, yes. It says he sat down and wept and mourned and fasted, and he prayed before God. At that time, he was the king's cupbearer. So he asked the king if he could return home to rebuild the city. Nehemiah knew he'd face resistance at every turn from the king, from his countrymen. And over it talks about how every time he was faced with something, he prayed. And he knew that God had put it on his heart to rebuild the wall. And I love that story because everybody helped rebuild the wall. These people weren't trained construction workers or builders. He was a cupbearer. And it was probably out of their comfort zone. But God had put it on his heart, and together with God, they built it in 52 days, which is a miracle. What does God want to do through you? What has he put on your heart to do? What is it that when people look at you, they say, only God could do that? I encourage each of us to pray and ask God to guide us to the thing he would have us do that we can't do on our own strength. Maybe it would be some of the things we talked about at the beginning. Maybe it's leading something. Maybe it's going somewhere. Maybe it's talking to somebody. And I also want to encourage us, if we're fearful of something that God is calling us to do, that's another time to be prayerful. Pray for strength. And even if it's just one day at a time. I think about a summer camp I worked one summer with junior high kids. They were inner city kids, and they were great, but it was exhausting. And every single day, I would ask God for what I needed for just that one single day to get through, and he gave it to me. So even those times, you know, even if it's just for the day. Which leads me to my fourth and final point. It's not about you. I think sometimes we're fearful of getting out of our comfort zone because we worry what others will think about us or how it might make us look. A friend in college shared this verse with me. It asks, am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I'm still trying to please man, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. So who are we really interested in pleasing? Or if we're fearful or nervous, I love this reminder. When God spoke to Joshua after Moses died and Joshua was going to be the new leader of the Israelites, he said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or intimidated. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's such a great reminder. He's with us. And finally, I love this one, so I'm going to have him put it on the screen. 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is Paul speaking about what God has done in his life. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I started thinking about it. What does that mean to be weak or to boast in my weaknesses? And I have a favorite commentary that I love to read by one of my seminary professors, Dr. Tom Constable. I just want to read what he has in his notes for this verse. Here is an example of God denying a prayer request because he wanted to give something better, though not more comfortable. What we must learn is that God was using Paul's weakness to teach the apostle dependence on himself, meaning God. So thoroughly had Paul learned this lesson that he even boasted about his afflictions or weaknesses. He realized that when he was naturally weak, the Lord would provide the power that he lacked and needed. The Lord enabled Paul to do the things he could not have done had he been naturally strong. This is one of the most important lessons every ambassador of Christ must learn. Both natural weakness and supernatural power are constantly at work in us, as they were in Paul and in Jesus. The cross is the greatest example of divine power working through human weakness. The greater the degree that we sense our weakness, the more we will be ready to experience God's power. Our success does not depend on our natural abilities, but on God's power working in and through us. Human weakness, or as we might say tonight, being uncomfortable, can be a profound blessing if it results in our depending more on God and less on self. It wasn't, however, in the weaknesses themselves that Paul took delight, but in the opportunity sufferings endured for Christ's sake afforded him for Christ's power to reside and be effective in his life. Human weakness provides the opportunity for divine power. Can we even imagine what that looks like, to boast in our weakness so that people would see God and not us? We can get so wrapped up in ourselves, can't we? Not only is it not about me, but for those who are believers, we're a part of the body of Christ. And there's a couple passages in scripture that talk about him. One of them that I love, because my dad was my basketball coach, he used to read this to us, is 1 Corinthians 12, and he'd replace the word body with team. So it would say, "For even as the team is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the team, though they are many, are one team, so also is Christ." The passage goes on to say that no part of the body can claim to have more or less importance, because each part is needed to function just as it was created to, for the whole body to work properly. We're not going to be called to do the same things, but we are going to be called to do something where we need to rely on God and not on our own strength. And if we fail to serve as the hand or the foot or the eye, then something's going to be off in the whole body. We don't function alone or in a vacuum. And I think we need to be really careful when we find ourselves focusing on, "No one's reaching out to me," which is how I felt in that opening story. There's a blog called The Cripplegate that our pastor here at Emmanuel contributes to, and I read an article recently, and it put it this way: healthy Christians aren't caught up with, "How am I being treated?" but, "How did Christ treat me, and how can I treat others likewise?" They don't get stuck in, "Why didn't so-and-so do this for me?" but, "What should I be doing or saying to others in a way that reflects God's love for Christ?" I'm reading this book called Disciplines of a Godly Woman, and the author, Barbara Hughes, said, "In Christ, our life is not about what we get, but about what we give." Dale and I really try to encourage our kids with thinking about others first and look for someone to encourage that could use it. But that's such a good reminder to us, too. I think about the relationships and the growth that I would have missed out on if I hadn't been willing to step out of my comfort zone. In my life, those have come in the form of adoption, of working in youth ministry, of going on mission trips. And my life is richer because of them. God has used those things in my life, but he's also used them in the lives of others. When we started down the road of infertility, I remember my mom saying, "It's not the ministry you would have chosen, but it's the one God's given you." And I can't even count the number of people that we've had the privilege of walking with through their journeys of family expansion, as I like to call it, through infertility up and down, through adoption up and down. Is it out of our comfort zone to think about giving up control of our lives and our plans? I'd encourage us with the verse I've chosen for our family, especially as we've walked the road of adoption. It's Ephesians 3:20, and it says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think." If we had our things our way, our life would not be as full or as rich with the relationships that we have and with the kids that we have. Are we worried that God might ask too much of us? Some of us might be familiar with the story of Esther. She's a beautiful Jewish woman who hides the fact that she's a Jew and marries the Persian king. And the king promotes one of his officials, Haman, who requires everyone to bow down to him. When Esther's cousin Mordecai doesn't bow down, he decides he wants him and all the Jews killed because they didn't. Mordecai basically asks Esther to risk her life by approaching the king with this news, uncovering that she's a Jew in order to save her people. Now, Mordecai knows that his people, the Jews, are God's chosen people, and he will protect them. Mordecai says to Esther, "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And who knows whether or not we have been put in this exact place and time and in our particular circumstances for God to use us in ways that are beyond what we could ever imagine and are way outside of what feels comfortable. We must consider, am I willing to get out of my comfort zone to accomplish his purposes? God will accomplish what he wants to accomplish, whether we're the instrument he uses or not. But don't we want to be a part of it? I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me because it felt a little uncomfortable. This fall, we took our family to Legoland in Florida, and every single ride caused Naomi to cry in fear just at the word ride. We didn't push her too hard. We didn't make her do everything, but we did want her to experience a couple of rides that we were sure she would like once she tried them and got over the fear of the unknown. But on one of the roller coasters, there was a teenager working, and she refused to start the ride unless Naomi, who was 4 at the time, said that she was okay. Now, this teenager hadn't asked mom or dad. She was waiting for the 4-year-old to say, I'm okay. And I realize we might feel like Naomi did on that roller coaster. She was nervous and crying and afraid of the unknown. But as her mom and dad, we knew the big picture. We knew she'd be okay. We knew that we'd be with her no matter what, and that she might even decide she liked it in the end, which months later she talks about the rides that she liked. God is with us wherever we go. He has greater plans for us than we can imagine, and he can be completely trusted when it comes to getting out of our comfort zone. So, as a reminder, be intentional, be available, be prayerful, and it's not about you. I wanted to come up with an acronym to help us remember. So going along with the stretch and grow, I thought about no pain, no gain, right? So if you change out the letters for pain, you can remember be prayerful, be available, be intentional, and it's not about you. So for those of you who have ever done a group with me, you know that I love to incorporate music with good lyrics. So I want to play this song and then wrap up our time. But this is Toby Mac, and it's called Beyond Me.
Call it a reason to retreat. I got some dreams that are bigger than me. I might be outmatched, outsized, the underdog in the fight of my life. Is it so crazy to believe that you gave me the start? I've put them out of my reach. Call me the waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me.
Way beyond me, yeah, you gave me the stars, put them out on.
There's some lyrics in there that I love. He says, I've never been so aware of my need. And over my head keeps me counting on you. You take me to the place where I know I need you, straight to the depths that I can't handle on my own. And Lord, I know I need you. And isn't that exactly where we want to be? Where we recognize we can't do it on our own. And we're taken to our knees to rely on him. Where we stretch and we grow. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for the circumstance and the places that you've put each one of us. We pray that you would make it clear what you would have us to do and that you give us the strength that we need to get out of our comfort zone to fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for us. We thank you for each one of these women. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.